Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. I think all of you know how I feel about the, quote, unwritten rules of baseball. And there is an absurdity to it that I've just never liked. Yeah, I know you're policing yourself, blah, blah, blah. You know, the heck with it. You know, every once in a while over the years, I don't care whether Joe was coaching or Tommy Bradley or Bill or James Franklin, there'll be a skirmish on the field. You know, and the first thing I think of, and the coaches jump in right away, you're like, just knock off the nonsense. You're wasting everybody's time. All right? Every once in a while, basketball, a little push and shove in a practice. Like, stop it. You're wasting everybody's time. Go to the next play. I don't have time to mess around with your personal emotions. Move on. Get to the next play. I don't think, you know, like, what do you want to stay here till 7 while you duke it out? It's the same thing in baseball. It's like, come on. You know, we're going to brush somebody off. Then we're going to have benches empty. Colorado and San Diego, benches empty. Yankees, Red Sox, benches empty. Come on. The unwritten rules of baseball. Here's one for you. Here's an unwritten rule of baseball. Get the ball and play. Yeah, let's try that rule. See how it goes. Jason LaCanfora is going to join us today. NFL insider for CBS Sports. Talk about the NFL draft today with him. Tomorrow, Eddie Garcia, Fox Sports NHL reporter. Oh, my goodness. Were the Penguins dominant last night? This is one game. But, you know, I was thinking about this morning. You know who I think is actually, and you know me, I could care less about MVPs. I think that's been too overblown over the years. Like, it used to have so much more meaning to me when I was younger. Now it's like, yeah, okay, fine, they're the MVP, who cares? I mean, I'll tell you what helped ruin it was, I mean, when ESPN got the NBA contract, they started talking about MVP candidates in November. And I'm not exaggerating. November. And I was like, well, what are you doing? Let's see a body of work here. You know, Russell Westbrook, you know, is Russ putting together an MVP kind of year? Says ESPN on-air host trying to get you interested. I'm like, oh, it didn't get me interested. What else do we get on? Bang, done. And what happens if that guy over there from Utah has 40, 50-point games in the next 4 months? Right. Come on. Well, now the regular season in the NHL is over, so you can think about this a little bit. The MVP of the league, the Hart Trophy winner, might be Marc-Andre Fleury. And there's no doubt who the executive of the year is and who the coach of the year is. They're both the Vegas people. Remember, 10 months ago today, they had no players. None. They had no players. 10 months later, they're winning the opening game in the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, we were barely a month out of the season last June when we had a chance to talk to Phil Bork, the old two-nighter from the Pittsburgh Penguins Radio Network, and he said without no uncertain terms, he was absolutely intrigued as to how Vegas was going to do this year and if they weren't going to be a doormat.
Well, they aren't a doormat. They're anything but. They've been great. They won the Pacific Division. They're hosting the opening round of the playoff. They won it. Fleury backstopped this thing. He was 29-13-4 as a goalie this year. Now, you can talk about Connor McDavid. You can talk about Sidney Crosby, Geno Malkin, Patrick Laine. There's so many different people you can talk about. But that team had no players a year ago. None. Mike Sullivan took over and did a great job with the Penguins and guided them to back-to-back Stanley Cups. Remember when he took over the team, he took over a team that still had Sidney Crosby, Chris Letang, Geno Malkin, Phil Kessel. Yeah, Gerard Gallant took over a team. Well, he was named head coach. He would take over a team. He was looked around. Let's have the first team meeting a year ago. It's just him standing in the locker room. Now, 10 months after getting players, they're playing in the they're a division champ. They get a banner out of it, and they won their opening Stanley Cup game last night.
One guy you got to give a lot of ton of credit to is George McPhee, the general manager, who had quite a bit of experience before. He was a one-time GM for the Washington Capitals, and he really laid out the groundwork and literally built that team, pick by pick, player by player.
No, they did a great job. He's the executive of the year. Gallant is the coach of the year. When you have no team 10 months ago, no players, and you win the division and you're in the playoffs, that has to be the group of the year, all of them. Most expansion teams are lousy. So, give them credit where credit's due. That's they've done one heck of a job there. And, yeah. All right. By the way, the NHL award show is still going to be in Las Vegas. No, that's going to happen. And the NBA playoffs are set, so that's now all set. You sent me something today about the new morning show, Get Up. They had 247,000 viewers yesterday, Tuesday, the 10th.
Right.
Which is down 35% from the same time slot a year ago, and it's down 14% from the same Tuesday the week before. Have you watched that show at all?
I was going to watch the opening show. I was going to watch the opening show when it debuted, but I completely forgot. So I tuned in the next day. So last Tuesday I tuned in, the morning after Villanova won the national championship. I tuned in for like the first commercial break. And it's definitely a complete, it doesn't remind you of SportsCenter. It kind of reminded me format-wise, not content or personality-wise. It reminded me format-wise of the SportsCenter, the SE6, the 6 show with Michael Smith and Jemele Hill, where they pretty much just jumped right in and dove into talking points. It didn't really give you if you don't have a lot of time in the morning, you want to flip the TV on, you want to get a quick whip around of sports, that's definitely not the show. They kind of would, set the table on a topic, right, and then they'd kind of go around the horn and talk about it for a few minutes.
Well, okay, let me start with this. I not one time watched the show SEC6. I never once saw it. So I have no idea what they did or did not do. So, I was 0-for on that show. Which then brings me to this show. I saw a little bit of this show. I think I saw 60 seconds this morning. Michelle Beadle was interviewing somebody from MMA, UFC, whatever. And then I saw a minute the other day, and they were talking about the WWE. And then I saw maybe 5 minutes where Michelle Beadle and Jalen Rose were breaking down the NBA possibilities for the playoffs. This is before the Minnesota-Denver game, obviously. And a little bit where they're open. It was a little open area for them. Okay. So something's missing. Now, maybe I haven't watched it enough to really know, but something's missing. I don't know what it is. I mean, that's nothing. I mean, the people that they have, Greenberg's as talented as anybody in the business. Nobody has the ability to set up the next segment to make you want to at least see what it's all about and wait through the commercials better than he does. And he's brilliant at it. I mean, I've told my class a million times, you want to know how to do it the right way, I said, watch how he does it. That's how good I think he is at it. She's a pro's pro. Now she has a little different style, so it has to, fit you as the viewer, but she's a pro's pro, and Jalen Rose brings a different perspective, but is also highly articulate. But there's something on that show that's missing, and I don't know if it's as simple as chemistry or if it is as simple as not hitting the right topics right time. I don't know.
It's going to be interesting to see how long the show is going to last, just because of the fact that it was John Skipper that was the one in charge that made the call to get that show up and running. Well, he's no longer running ESPN. Yeah. They now have a new guy in charge, so it's just going to be interesting to see, how much long of a pass the new GM is going to give the show.
Well, at minimum, I would say this. Let's do this at minimum. You want to really give it a chance here. I mean, you've got $14.5 million in salary sitting on that set. And by the way, more power to each and every one of them for every dime that they make. I'm all for that. That's fine. But from the company point of view, the company is sitting there, and they're saying, okay, we got $14.5 million just in the three people sitting there. Okay. I would say you've got to make sure that they get a football season and get them through the Super Bowl. Then I think after the Super Bowl, you evaluate where you are with it. So let's, give it a chance to get an audience. The audience numbers are going to be down in the summertime to begin with, people moving around, getting out, doing things, going on vacations and so forth. But then football season comes in, and that's where they really need to make a mark as to what they're doing. Because, look, 247,000 viewers, is that the number you sent me? 247?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, if that's the number, think about this. This is not 247,000 viewers in New York, and it's not 247,000 viewers in Philadelphia or Boston or D.C. Hey, this is 247,000 viewers in a country of 350 million people. I mean, that's how you have to look at it. You have 350 million people in this country. 247,000 are watching your morning show. Now, it's also brand new, and it needs to get some sort of toehold. That's why you have to give it through the Super Bowl. Like, take it through a football season where there's more on you. NFL, college football. Take it through the college football playoff, which draws attention. People aren't out as much. They're watching more TV at that time of the year. Right? Take it through the Super Bowl. Same story. Where you bring it, you put it on live, put it on site, and turn it into something.
Yeah, and they're not even doing the show in Bristol. It's actually in their new multi-million-dollar facility in New York. Yeah, which they were hoping to get shows originated out of there long before last week. I think the original plan was about a year or so ago when Mike and Mike were still together. They were going to do their morning show from New York. They wanted to give it a bigger splash and bring someone else in to do updates. And
well, plus I think Greenberg wanted to work out of New York above all, too. He's a New York guy. Okay, so I mean, yeah, and I understand that. I mean, he has young kids going back and forth like that. Not easy. It's not easy at all. So that part I completely understand, especially with younger kids. But yeah, they wanted to work out of there. Okay, that's fine. So you're working out of there. It doesn't matter if you're working out of there or if you're working out of Columbus, Ohio. I mean, can you get the guests on and can you make the show interesting enough? And I think the parts I have watched so far, with all due respect, at least by my taste, are not interesting enough. and I haven't watched a lot of it, but there seems to be just something missing with it. Now, what it is, I don't know. I can't quite put my finger on it. Can't quite do that yet. It'll take a little while, and it has nothing to do. I mean, you've got pros out there, and they well work together and so forth, but there's something about working with somebody, and people can tell right away whether two people have the chemistry or not, or whether it's forced. People can tell that. And chemistry is something that is... it either is there or it is not. I've told my class there are two things I absolutely cannot tell you. I cannot tell you the absolute surefire way to get a job. And anybody that tells you, I can tell you a surefire way to get a job, is just flat out lying to you. It's whether you can convince the person and they're convinced in you that they hire you, right? And who knows? And I said, and I can't tell you how to get chemistry with somebody. It's either there or it's not. I've told them many times, you can go out there with your best friend that you've been buddies with your whole life. You can do a show together, and you can have the same chemistry you have in everyday life. I said, or when the lights go on and now it's a show, suddenly out of nowhere you don't have chemistry, and then I can put an absolute stranger next to you, and for some reason it clicks. There's just no rhyme or reason. No rhyme or reason. The first time Jack Ham and I worked on the air together was the first game we did. And somebody asked me, how did you know, when did you know you had chemistry? And Jack said in the pregame show. And that's about how I felt. Pretty much in the pregame show, we just kind of looked at each other like, okay, you know, this seems like we've been doing it for 20 years. Dick Girardi, same thing. Yeah, you know, we've had... Dick's told the story, as he refers to it, the legendary story about, hey, you think we have a little quick meeting here before we go out and do our first game? I said, yeah, sure. He says, okay, how's this going to work? And I said, look, I'll talk, you talk, I'll talk, we'll talk. We'll be two guys talking basketball. I said, we'll have fun. Right? Well, that's exactly how we've done it. And Dick and I had never done anything on the air together before that day. It's 15 years ago. Now, I mean, you're talking about a person sitting here that you can't get any luckier than that. The person they pair me up with football, you get chemistry with within the 90 seconds of the broadcast. Right? You pair them up in basketball, 90 seconds into the broadcast, you get chemistry. And it stayed that way forever. Right? Sean and I. Sean and I worked beautifully together. Should I mention the suit here at this point?
Yeah, you can. Yeah, I mean, he was here before me on this show.
He did fine. No. Yeah. He's sitting in his office going, no.
He's moved on. He's moved on to bigger and better things.
You and I both.
All right, he's moved on.
He's moved on to things. But Kevin and I worked great together.
Sure did.
We work great together. I mean, so I've been really lucky that the people I've worked with have all been terrific and easy and, you know, and chemistry and fun. And, you know, when it's time to get serious, you get serious. And that was great. Yeah, it's been great. I mean, like I said, Jack and Dick, we never had not one time ever worked on the air until we did our first games. And also, we kind of looked at each other about a minute in going, all right, so how many years have we been together? 20, 30? I mean, each one of us knows where everybody's going. Sean knows right now I'm going to a break on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
We upgrade all the time.
My computer.
My TV.
My phone.
Isn't it time you upgraded your vehicle? Upgrade your trade now at Sunbury Motors Kia. I want to see you. It's the first annual Upgrade Your Trade event. Now is the time because SMC is making it easier than ever with above market value for your trade and 0% financing for up to 75 months on 2018 Kia Fortes, Optimus, Sportages, and Serenos. 0% for 66 months on 2018 Kia Souls and Sedonas, and 0% for 60 months on 2018 Kia Rios and Niros. And all include Kia's 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. Plus, there's over 25 Kia-certified pre-owned vehicles on the lot, priced to move. It's the first annual Upgrade Your Trade event at Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Financing offers available to qualified buyers through KMF Financing. In lieu of rebate, excludes Kia Stinger and Cadenza. Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty. For details, see Taylor or go to Kia.com.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. By the way, guess who? Well, of course, Jack Ham was here with me yesterday. We'll talk about some of our impressions about practice in a few moments. Guess who got a hold of me this week? Who's coming in this weekend? Wheels. Chris Wheeler's going to be up here with me this weekend.
Outstanding.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
A little Saturday, a little golf, yeah.
We're going to go to practice.
Okay.
We're going to do that. 1877, on this day in sports history, catcher's mask was used in a baseball game for the first time by James Alexander Tyng. I'd like to point out that in 1877, on this date, he may have been the smartest person on the planet. 2004, the Phillies played their opening game at Citizens Bank Park. 2004, Barry Bonds of the Giants hit his 660th home run to tie his godfather, Willie Mays, for third on baseball's career list. In 2007, the Dallas Stars and Vancouver Canucks played 138 minutes and 6 seconds before the Canucks were able to score an overtime goal and win the game, the sixth longest game in NHL history. I'm going to get to football practice notes in a moment for you. I want to talk about Cale Sanderson for a moment. Cale Sanderson. Altoona has this dinner every year, and Neil Riddell's been a driving force behind this forever. They've been able to get some incredible speakers there. Joe Paterno, James Franklin, Bill Raftery, Bobby Knight. Well, this time around, they were able to get Cale Sanderson to go. And Corey Geiger wrote an outstanding piece in the Altoona Mirror about Cale's appearance there over the weekend. And he told a story, and as you know, when it comes to motivating, like motivating things about games, Sean will be the first to tell you, I think that's all a bunch of mumbo-jumbo rivalries and all that. I think it's mumbo-jumbo. And I always have thought that. And, of course, a lot of, no, it's a big rivalry. It meets about place. Okay. So, Sanderson, Cale is at this dinner in Altoona. And Cale is not, look, Cale is not a guy that likes to talk about himself at all. Doesn't enjoy it. It's not his deal. You know, he is somebody that... I'm very comfortable interviewing Cale now because I know him better. And because when you're interviewing someone, you have to understand what gets them to talk. And so you don't sit there and go, well, tell me about your career and tell me about, please. You know, that's not what he wants to talk about. And I think the last time I sat down and interviewed Cale was that piece we did on Zane Rutherford. And yeah, and you know, and we were kidding around, laughing about different things. And we did the interview, bang, 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 nice and efficient, done, which he likes. You know, and then you move on. So Cale Sanderson got up in front of the group in Altoona and told how he motivates his wrestlers at Penn State. He said he and the other coaches, and he has a great staff. Cale talks about his staff a lot. I think a lot of people should talk about his staff more, too. He said he and the other coaches do not talk about hating the opponent. They also do not talk about how big the rivalry is. And they don't tell their student athletes things such as the whole world is against them. You know, I mean, every time I hear that stuff, I always think, oh, for goodness sakes. I mean, Sean, you know, it drove the suit nuts that I thought that way, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, it drove him nuts. He's like, oh, no, you don't understand. No, I've been around it forever. Like, I'm on practice fields and stuff. That's not what they do to motivate people. The really good coaches don't do that.
There is such a thing, you know, I was thinking of the classic movie, you know, Newt Rockne, All-American, you know, the classic speech, win one for the Gipper. But, you know, each team has a different dynamic as to how you can reach to them so they can reach out to, you know, tap into their greatest potential and do what they can, the best they can for the team.
It's interesting, but Cale Sanderson talked about what the things I've talked about forever. He said those are fleeting motivational tools, and he doesn't believe in them. Here's his exact quote to sum it all up. If you want to win, you don't need a fancy why. Just win because you want to. Now, that doesn't mean just showing up. It means, do you have the willingness to get up at 5 a.m. and run? Do you have the willingness to get in the weight room? Do you have the discipline to do all of this? Do you put in the extra time in the wrestling room because there's a move that you're not quite sure about yet? Or do you put the extra time in the wrestling room because, you know what, when they do that, I don't counter it well? What do I need to do to counter it better? Okay? That is the just win because you want to. No shortcuts. And that goes with anything in life. You want to be successful at something, you've got to throw yourself into it because you want to. Because you want to do it. And then since you want to do it, you want to get up early and run. You want to get up early and get your day rolling and get to the weight room. You want, because you want to win, you get in to the treatment time that you're supposed to be at earlier. Because you want to win, you'll do hot tub, cold tub. Because you want to win, you'll stay that little extra and take that extra jump shot. Throw that extra pass. Figure out one more time, what's that counter I need to do to make sure that if it happens to me, I can counter and still win. That's the want to right there. That isn't, oh boy, here we go. We're playing Ohio State. Now, that's great for the fans and everything like that, but I've always said over and over again, when does that stuff end? That stuff ends the first time you get smacked in the mouth. So you get smacked in the face, figuratively, not literally, but figuratively. You're like, okay. Suddenly out of nowhere, it's like, I got to recover here. How do I do this? That's where the want to comes in. You want to be that good. You want to be that good as a team. Everyone marvels over and over again at going to Lift for Life and seeing all these Penn State student-athletes, football players. Wow, look how great they look after the month of June, which is a critical month for them. You know, look how sharp they look. They get into training camp. Okay, they're not running extra laps or anything like that. They've already done that. They've run hills. They've worked in the sand pit. They've been in the weight room. They put in the 7-on-7 time. They've organized the 5 a.m. runs. Basketball. You know, last year, Patrick Chambers last year asked all of his players to not just come in for the second six-week session. He asked them to come in and be a part of what was going on the first six-week session and the second. So they were here from the Wednesday after Mother's Day all the way through because he said that's the one way to come together as a team and get better. And they did that. That's the want to. That's the want to. Not the, oh, playing Ohio State, hate those guys. Oh, going to play Pitt, hate those guys. Oh, the rivalry, huge, incredible. Okay? The world is against us. Well, the world can be against you, but guess what? You get out there. I mean, when Martin suddenly put a Bo Nickel to his back, he wasn't sitting there saying the world's against me. He wasn't sitting there saying, I hate Ohio State. He wasn't sitting there saying, it's a big rivalry with them. I got to beat them, right? He said, what the heck do I do to get out of this and turn them? And boom, he turned them. Okay, that's the want to, because he had worked on it. He had worked on it. And there's so much talk on today, so much talk, whether it's writing or it's shows or TV, talk, right? And there's so many things that are yapped about, and then you take some time, if you're really into what you're doing, and you pull somebody aside that actually knows, and you find out it's mumbo-jumbo. That's why I've always had this anti-mumbo-jumbo attitude on here, because I've been around it my whole life. I hate them, and rivalries, blah, 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 blah. Ah. You get in a football game, bang. Guy get knocked down on your backside on a pursuit play. Guess what? All that mumbo-jumbo about, you know, because part of that during the course of the week, you know, rivalries and things, the world's against the whole thing, yeah, that's to get you to practice harder. Not the game. Well, guess what? If you already want to, you don't need that. Do you think Zane Rutherford needed to, I can't stand the Sorensen kid from Iowa? For all we know, that off the mat, they're good friends. I don't know. I'd have to ask Zane that. Never have asked him. Okay, I'll give you something like a mumbo-jumbo piece. I was talking to Bill O'Brien on Saturday. And we were talking for a while, and I said, hey, I want to ask something about quarterbacks. He wanted to take a look at Trace McSorley and see how McSorley handled things. And he says, you know, Jonesy, what do you think of him? I said, the thing you'll see right away is he's got footwork, vision, and he's become an accurate thrower of the football. Okay, so that's what I told him before he took a look at him. All right, so then he comes back, and I said, I want to ask you something about quarterbacks. I said, is it making it more difficult for you to evaluate quarterbacks how the college game is being played? And he says, no. I said, I'm going to go back, he said, to what you said to me before I looked at McSorley. You're right, I can see his footwork, I can see his accuracy, I can see his vision, what he's doing. He says, so those are basics I have already to look at him. I said, well, what about the part where everybody talks about the difficulty of going under center? He goes, he says, Jonesy, we can teach that. Yeah, I feel like there are times where this show like kills myths. That was the big suit destroyer. Like all these things he had thought, like, nah, it's not really true. And that's the way it is. There's so much talk you have to fill it up with, you know, oh boy, you know, Russ against Steph tonight. there are a few other people playing in the game too. I mean, it's not going to be a duel to the death between two guys at center court. But again, Cale Sanderson. Sanderson told about how he motivates his wrestlers at Penn State. He and other coaches do not talk about hating the opponent. He and his coaches do not talk about rivalries. He and his coaches do not tell his athletes that the whole world is against them. What he does tell them is this: if you want to win, you don't need a fancy why. Just win because you want to win. Now, there's a lot of want that goes into the finally getting to the moment that opens the door for you to win. And it's because you want to do all of those things. You want to watch the extra tape. You want to talk, have meetings with your coaches and your teammates. You want to have, okay, that's all part of the want to win. You have to want to do all of that. I mean, even to quote something, a job like I do, all right? One of the most important things, I want to prepare for games. I want to be at practice. I want to look at tape. I want to do charts. I want to take a look at stat breakdowns. I may use 1% of it, but if I use it in the right spot, it makes the broadcast better for you. when you're listening. You have to want to do that. You have to want to. And that's what he tells his athletes. I mean, you know why Trace McSorley is so successful? He is working, and this comes, if you hear somebody say he's worked so hard, that's the want. Trace McSorley wanted to be a good quarterback. Trace McSorley wanted to put in the extra time in the weight room. Trace McSorley wanted to put extra time in with the speed coach. Trace McSorley wanted to put more time in on tape. Trace McSorley wanted to put more time in meetings. Trace McSorley wanted to organize 7-on-7s. Trace McSorley wanted to put in extra time after practice to make plays. Ask that extra question. Wanted to listen to his coaches. That's the other part, too. You have to want to listen. Now, everybody has their own personalities. Cale Sanderson's done a brilliant job of finding those personalities, working with those personalities, bringing out the best in those personalities, and making them understand that the road to winning starts with you. It doesn't start with the other guy. And Sean wants me to take a break, and we will on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, it's great to have you with us. Jack Ham was with me yesterday. I mean, look, there are several good items we saw yesterday. I will tell you this. I think the first 10 practices for Penn State football were really, really good. Really, really good. Yesterday was not one of them. It just wasn't the greatest going. Every once in a while you get one in there that has some good elements and some other elements where you just shake your head and go, no, didn't happen today. But you also don't want to be in a position where you waste any of them. Look, you only get 15 of them in the spring. You don't want to go out there and waste everybody's time of the day. Now, I'm sure when the coaches go back and look at the film, they're going to see certain things with certain individuals that were very good yesterday. But overall, wasn't really the greatest yesterday. Now, the other 10, I could have walked out of there and the other 10 said, yep, made progress. I mean, every day I felt they've been making progress. Yesterday there was some progress made in some areas, but not across the board. Happens. But so far, they've been good this spring. They've been very good. Now, I'm looking forward to seeing what they do on Saturday. I mentioned Wheels will be up here, so I'll be talking to him for a while on Saturday. I think that they've got the makings of a good team. They're making progress in a couple of areas. I'm looking forward to the Blue White games. We can really, where Jack and I can talk about a couple of the players that you hope would make progress and make a difference in the team actually are making progress and a difference. So we're looking forward to that. Now remember, James Franklin is going to be on with me next Thursday night from 6:05 to 7. We are going to do a show from Primanti Brothers, like we always do, before a Penn State football game. And I think it's actually one of the better things that they've done at Learfield. They said, you know, we got these 29 shows. How do we do it? Well, you know, I got the Blue-White game. We could put one before that. That was their idea. It wasn't my idea. And I think it's great to hear, you know, that the fans get a chance to hear about where he thinks they happen to be with only one practice remaining, and that's the Blue-White game. So, look, they've done well. Yesterday just wasn't one of those. You know, and again, there was progress made by certain individuals yesterday. I mean, there's no getting around it. It's just, I think he wanted to see more, and especially when you're talking about a team that through the first 10 practices had, he just wasn't enamored with how it played out yesterday. And he told the press that yesterday. He talked to them afterward about that. Well, it's not like I'm not giving you anything that's here that's like earth-shattering, but... All right, Jason Lockenfor is going to join us in the final half hour. Talk about the NFL draft. We'll get into Barkley, Gesicki, and a whole bunch of others. And which quarterback goes first? Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.